back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Kia ora, Rod. How are you?
Good morning, Rachel. Very well, thank you.
Thank you so much for chatting to us this morning. Lots has happened since we last spoke to you, as is always the way with politics.
It's been a busy period.
It has been a busy period. We're going to talk about a few things this morning, but I thought maybe we should start with the leadership debate and sort of a kind of race, I guess, to be the next Theresa May, whoever wants that slightly fraught position at the moment in the UK, because there was a big leadership debate the other night over there. What's happening, I guess, and what does it mean? Because also they're obviously in the middle of all their Brexit sort of negotiations and processes and stuff, so it's going to be a weird role for somebody to take on.
Indeed, and Boris Johnson is clear, likely winner. He's way ahead in terms of declared votes from MPs. What they're going through at the moment is a series of internal votes to reduce the number of candidates. And then Thursday evening, UK time, i.e. Friday morning ours, they will have one more round to get down to two names to put to the party for the election vote itself. And I don't think there's any doubt at this stage that Johnson is going to be the winner of that, unless he does something, you know, remarkable in the meantime that loses vast amounts of support. Then he's promising that Britain would be out of the UK by October 31st. You know, he quite extraordinarily says that exiting with no agreement in place is what he's minded to do. He is impetuous, he is mercurial, but that would be, if he followed through on that, that would be extremely dramatic. Well, there would be economic and political chaos.
Yes, yeah.
So the first thing we would look for as to whether or not he's actually going to pursue that course once elected leader, or whether he'd find some way to wriggle out of that. But he is obviously very determined that Britain should leave the European Union, and he doesn't have the patience or the negotiating skills that Theresa May had trying to find a way through that. So it would be kind of all guns blazing. It's going to be quite a spectacle, and I don't relish that.
No.
As that prospect unfolds.
I think there's a lot of people who are feeling quite like that as well. He's also, as I guess, part of this kind of, I guess, populist sort of rising of leaders. He's kind of, I guess, the UK's equivalent to Donald Trump in many ways. They even have the same haircut as well. So, you know, there's that too. But what I find kind of interesting is the sort of obviousness of the way he wants to approach this. What's the public's response been to this, Rod?
He does attract a fair amount of support. People like his humour, which is, you know, doesn't work for everyone, and his sort of buccaneering attitudes and all the rest, and his, you know, always in many ways he's sort of smarter than Trump in terms of sort of the things he says and the positions he holds, but he is, as I say, very impetuous. He doesn't actually get much delivered. Famously, in the short time he was Foreign Secretary, he just sat there completely disinterested in all the issues that the UK was faced with and all the options there were for dealing with them, causing a huge frustration in the Foreign Office. So it's just hard to imagine that he's going to be effective in any way. When he was Mayor of London, there were some things that got done, which were useful, but it always seemed to be entirely about him.
Yes.
And it's hard, you can't detect, you know, a bigger or broader ambition and goal than his own self-promotion. Again, it's hard to imagine him as a constructive and effective person who can help bring the UK together and put it on a some semblance of a a practical course.
Well, it's certainly going to be a roller coaster and a bit of a scary one, that too, if and when he takes on that role as well. Should we flip into New Zealand politics a little bit now, because quite a bit's going on? You actually suggested we talk a little bit about Christopher Luxon resigning as the CEO of Air New Zealand. So there's been a bit of speculation that he wants a career in elected politics in New Zealand, particularly with the National Party. What's all of this about?
There's long been that sort of understanding that he was interested in. He's never publicly, explicitly said that, but he's obviously been talking about it with people. And there was a tantalising, very brief reference to that in his statement from Air New Zealand when he announced his resignation yesterday evening, about at a stage in life he was looking for opportunities to contribute in business and community and not-for-profits, politics. The immediate thought is that if there was a constituency, if he was interested in that, then one likely constituency would be botany here in Auckland. Mm-hmm. And he would be very popular. He's been a very, very capable and good chief executive of Air New Zealand for 7 years, and 2 years before that, head of the international side of the airline. A New Zealander, but an interesting career, business career overseas with Unilever, the very well-run Anglo-Dutch consumer goods company.
Right.
He's quite different from Key. Yes, they've both had experience in a career in business. Mm-hmm. But in many ways, Keyes was rather more rarefied in foreign exchange and investment banking. Luxon's has been much more out in the marketplace. So he's also far more articulate about his views on the economy. Key was always strangely lightweight on any kind of view or vision for the economy, which was one of my personal frustrations with him. And it didn't surprise me, seeing it was his foreign exchange background, where the last thing you need as a foreign exchange trader is your own opinion, because the markets will massacre you. What you need is reflexes, and Key had amazing reflexes, amazing political antenna. Mm-hmm. Luxon is good. I have a slight reservation about him.
Right.
I have a generic reservation. What makes you very good in business doesn't necessarily make you very good in politics.
Yes.
And my particular reservation with him is that he's extremely confident. I know he does listen to people around him, but I think there might be something about him that doesn't work for some people. I mean, that's true in all politics. But there's a little niggle in the back of my mind about quite how he'll play as a retail politician.
Right, yeah. It will be interesting, because I guess, as you're saying, the obvious template to sort of compare him to is John Key, and he's had such an enormous waves in the way that we perceive politicians, particularly who've come from this kind of background as well. So it certainly will be interesting to see if that's what he sort of, if he kind of leans into that, or yeah, if this is the way that he does go as well.
But crucially, he has more real world experience, thoughts, more ambitions around New Zealand than anybody in the National Party.
Mm.
He actually believes in climate change. He's one of the most effective leaders in the business sector on climate change, and he would drag the National Party. Be interesting to see how he'd drag the farmers with him into that absolutely essential arena.
Absolutely. That would be very interesting to see. In other New Zealand politics as well, David Seymour has been talking about freedom of speech and basically what he would do if he was able to change or adapt the way that free speech is approached under law in New Zealand. And he's said a lot of things like threatening or inciting violence would not be something that he would want, that should still be, as it is, a crime, obviously. But he's said some interesting things about how offensive behaviour, which people might be aware that one of the business owners from Christchurch, who was doing awful things around the mosques down there as well, and sharing the video from the terror attack and that sort of thing, has just been sentenced under offensive behaviour. Oh, sorry, charge. in 2016 he was also put under as well. That's something that he would quite like to sort of maybe do away with. He said once you make it a crime, you can imagine other people, such as the kinds of activities that Greenpeace get up to, being seen as similarly reprehensible or nuisance-like. The only difference is whether or not they're politically acceptable. So what's he sort of saying there, and what would that mean if you know, David Seymour ever got the chance to, I guess, have his way with that law? What would that mean?
He talks about introducing a freedom to speak bill. Again, I would be really surprised how much support there was for that in Parliament, or even in the public more widely. He's saying things that's obviously going to resonate with some members of the public, because there is a proportion of people who think that way in New Zealand. And although the mosque massacre brought out of the woodwork more of those people, and so we know we've got a greater issue with people who feel that very antagonized by the direction of the country and the way the government responds. I just don't think there's a great deal of support there. Furthermore, he's such an unlikely person, as he's a very awkward person. He is not the least bit charismatic. And he's trying to be a populist, but it's kind of quite Walter Mitty-esque, really.
But
he has this sort of idea of himself and his ability to shape the country, and you know, he for that you need charisma, and where there are successful populist politicians exploiting public fears, they do so with great charisma, and he just doesn't have it. So this we always wonder when the last chapter of Act is going to be written, but this must seem awfully close to the end of the book.
I was going to say, do you think that there is much of a future for Act with David Seymour in this, you know, position?
Well, as long as enough people in Epsom continue to follow the directions of the National Party and vote for him rather than a different candidate, or even the National Party candidate, because they still put one in there, then he can possibly get back into Parliament. Though there's now been a string of ACT leaders who have been testing the patience of the public on this, I'm curious to see whether he and the National Party can pull off that trick one more time.
Absolutely.
But the really important thing is, it's only valuable to National to do that if they think he can build enough support to bring in some, in terms of size of vote for ACT around the country, to bring in some other MPs, because they need mates for a coalition. And again, this hinges on whether Seymour can talk this up enough to build up that very slender amount of support that would bring in some more MPs with him. And so watch the opinion polls very closely. And again, I just can't believe he can do it.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much this morning, Rob, for chatting to us about those things. It's lovely to chat to you. We'll speak to you in a couple of weeks' time.
Yes, thanks, Rachel. All the best.
You too. Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.